Chapter 6, The Prayer of Agreement. God has given us several means for effecting changes in the earth, and one of these is the prayer of agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus said, "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." These are the words of the Master himself, so they must be true. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. The word key in Scripture speaks of authority, laws, and principle. Here, Jesus didn't mean to say when you bind the devil on earth, he's also being bound in heaven. No, the devil doesn't operate in heaven, so God doesn't have to bind him there. When you bind something on earth, it simply means that your decree is backed up by God in heaven because there's provision for it in his word. The Good News Bible, today's English version, puts it this way. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Glory to God. Requirements for the prayer of agreement. "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. In this statement made by Jesus, you find the requirements for a prayer of agreement. Number one, the participants must be on earth. Number two, there must be at least two of them. Number three, they must agree. Number four, they must ask or make the definite request. Many Christians have yet to operate in this power because they're mostly inclined to begging God in their prayers. The reason we can and should issue commands and make decrees is because God assured us in his word that our demands will be backed up by heaven. Remember, the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Numbers 23, verse 19. He doesn't go back on his word. He's got enough power to back it up with action. There's a remarkable record in the Bible of how the prayer of agreement works. Herod, in his persecution of the church, had killed James. When he observed that this pleased the people, he proceeded to arrest Peter, with full intentions of doing to him what he had done to James. But with the death of James, the church had learned their lesson and weren't going to allow the same fate befall Peter. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartermains of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts chapter 12, verse 4 to verse 5. Members of the early church must have decreed God's word concerning Peter's situation. I can imagine that at their meetings, they joined their hands together and made special decrees in the name of Jesus concerning his release. They couldn't have been crying, "Oh God, please have mercy on Peter. Please deliver him." If that was what they did, we wouldn't have this glorious testimony that has inspired generations of the church. They didn't ask God to do anything because Jesus had already taught them how to pray. He taught them not to make vain repetition like the heathen who think they'd be heard for their much speaking. Thus, these believers simply made bold declarations in the name of Jesus, and their words were established. This is how we ought to pray. I would to God that Christians prayed more of such prayers when visiting with one another. Some believers come together and all they talk about is how bad things have gone and how much evil is happening in the world. If only we would learn to join our hands together and call for changes in the name of Jesus, our world will be a lot better. That's what Christians are supposed to do. In the case of Peter, he'd been put in jail, bound with chains and guarded by soldiers, with a death sentence hanging over his head. But the church couldn't sleep. They got together and held a prayer vigil for Peter's release while he slept. Even when some of those who prayed for Peter doubted, God still answered. That's because in the prayer of agreement, doubting by one or some of the parties involved doesn't nullify the agreement. We'll see this when we read some more of that story in Acts chapter 12. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Acts chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 16. The prayers for Peter's deliverance had been answered. God had sent his angel to set him loose from Herod's maximum security prison. Acts chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 12. So when Rhoda got to the door and heard Peter's voice, she forgot to open the door and ran back in excitement to give others the good news. "Brethren, the prayer meeting is over. It's time for a praise meeting," she announced. "Apostle Peter's at the door." Some immediately said she had gone mad. Others concluded Herod had killed Peter and she must have seen his ghost. When they eventually mustered enough courage to open the door due to Peter's persistent knocking, the Bible says they were astonished. But these were the same folks who had just been praying and asking for Peter's release. There he was, standing at the door, and they were wondering if it was really him or his angel. What matters is the agreement we have regarding what we ask. Remember, the prayer of faith requires that you don't doubt in your heart at all. But the prayer of agreement doesn't give that stringent condition. The fundamental requirement is the agreement between the participants at the time of prayer. Even if doubts come up in anyone's heart later on, your request isn't nullified because it wasn't made in doubt. Thus, it can't be canceled simply because one party doubted. For the request to be nullified, all the parties would have to come together again to cancel it. Many times when people agree in prayer, they aren't aware of these rules. So when one party doubts, he thinks he has canceled the agreement. But it's not true. If it took two of you to agree, it would have taken both of you to cancel it. Otherwise, it can't be canceled. A prayer of agreement is a decree. The principle of agreement doesn't refer only to two or more Christians coming together to make requests for the supply of a need. It's a kind of prayer that carries with it a decree and spells out certain things that must be established, as we find in the book of Job. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Job chapter 22, verse 28. A prayer of agreement has to do with establishing a decree authoritatively, not begging that something be done. This is how the church, based on Scripture, carries on the work of the gospel. This is how we execute the will of God in the earth. We come together and agree and decree how things should be, based on our knowledge of the Father's will. For example, when people are ordained into the ministry and hands are laid on them, it's not just for the sake of blessing them. Rather, such a consecration helps pave the way for great works to be done in and through their lives. And God, on His part, establishes those things based on the agreement. The church has so much power that many of God's people don't know about yet. This is why some Christians still act like ordinary people who have no power. The reality, however, is that you have a supernatural kind of power, more than enough to accomplish whatever you want. What you need is the knowledge of the Word and the boldness of the Spirit. There's nothing we can't do when we agree. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Jesus said, if any two of us shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for us by the Father. Think about that word anything. It implies no limits. Praise God. The church is the body of Christ. We represent him and carry on his work on earth today. We are his ambassadors. Jesus stated that all things are possible to those who believe, and you're one of them. Therefore, with the prayer of agreement, you can do anything. You can have miracles take place in the name of Jesus Christ. I was in my office one Sunday evening when a member of our church came in to see me, looking very sad. I asked her to sit down and tell me what the problem was, and she told me how she had applied for a visa and found it difficult to get one. The embassy had issued a visa to her sister, but turned down her own request. As she narrated her ordeal, she started crying, but I began to laugh. Then I said to her, do you remember that Jesus said if two of us shall agree on earth concerning anything we shall ask, it shall be done for us? I let her know we couldn't be stopped when we agreed, and we could get whatever we wanted. I prayed a simple prayer of agreement with her, saying, Father, thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because she's got her visa. No one can stop her. I told her to go back there and she would get her visa. When she went back to the embassy, she was given the visa as we had agreed in prayer. That's the power of the prayer of agreement.